Okay, we're going to, tonight we've got a special service in just worship, thanksgiving, and a testimony evening, amen. So we're really looking forward to hear just some testimonies of what God has been doing. Jessica is going to start and just share some of her life with us. Do you know, when we share testimony, and we'll be sharing that a little bit later, but when somebody shares in front, do you know that the word testimony means, Lord, do it again in my life. Or Lord, do it again in somebody else's life. Because there's something that happens when we share our testimony. And we're going to do that at the end of the evening, where we're going to give you an opportunity to also share with people around you. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jessica. And like probably many of you, I grew up in a conservative Christian home, a German home. And my parents are celebrating 34 years of marriage this year. Yes, praise God. And I'm the eldest of five children. I grew up in Namibia, and I grew up in the bonds of a loving family, and we're very close up to today. But when my teenage years came, life didn't always look as bright. Life didn't turn out in every instance as I would have imagined it. At the age of 13, I just couldn't bear being bullied any longer in school. In total, in the end of my school life, I had been bullied 10 years. Then at the age of 14, I got sexually abused by so-called acquaintances of mine. And at that stage, I was in high rebellion against my father, so I didn't share what had happened. I wouldn't share it for the next 7 years of my life. Instead, I withdrew, and I closed myself up. And I said, nobody will understand. Better keep it shut down somewhere in a closet. And that's what I did. And I was perfectly trained and maintained pose in front of every occasion. But inside of me, something was breaking. It was breaking apart, and I withdrew more and more. I was unable, after that incident, to lead relationships that would be rewarding. And at the same time, I was so longing for acknowledgement. I was so longing for love from those that I really cared about, for them to voice it. But when they didn't, in the way that I understood it, I started looking for love in different places, and I went in and out of relationships, most of them sexual relationships. And every time my heart got broken more, and every time I broke down a little bit more. But in 1999, that was my second last year of school, in 1999, there were evangelists visiting from Germany, and they came and visited our conservative congregation that I was part of. And in the interim, whilst they were visiting for a week, God audibly spoke to me the one night, and I gave my life to Christ. In that moment, everything changed inside of me. It was as if God gave me a new conscience. He set it to a completely new standard in my life. But the circumstances around me didn't change immediately. I was still being bullied. I was still highly depressed about what was going on. And I didn't know how to handle it. So when I finished my school time, and I hadn't been discipled by that stage, and there was nobody to disciple me because nobody got what had happened in my life, and I didn't share it, I literally fled. I went over to Germany to start and study theology, and I escaped the peers that I had suffered under so much in Namibia. And I thought, yes, ultimate freedom, there you go. But you can't walk away from your life. So it didn't take long. It didn't take long, and what I discovered in Germany quickly is like, I'm not going to study theology. The close family bonds were suddenly quite a distance away, and I broke down. And I ended up my life being a complete mess. I ended up needing psychiatric help. I ended up in psychiatries in and out for 3 years. I ended up hurting myself, banging my fists against walls till they were barely recognizable, spending nights on graveyards with stones trying to break my bones. using and abusing medication, hating my life. Medical records have a suicide attempt to them. I was confused. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what was going on. And the worst part of it all is every time I got some sort of love, some sort of approval, acknowledgement with people, I couldn't handle it. I wasn't worth it. I had to punish myself even more because I couldn't receive it. My life was such a mess. Eventually, I went back to Namibia for a short while, only to return almost 2 years later. And in that time, when I returned, I started turning towards women instead of men. With them, I didn't feel threatened. I felt understood, and I started living the life of a lesbian. You would recognize me 100 feet off. You would know where I made my choices and where I would stand. And I lived the life of a lesbian, and at least I didn't threaten. I didn't feel threatened. But still, I would go in and out of relationship. I started looking for redemption in things like martial arts, and I looked into different religions, but they couldn't give anything to me. And though I never doubted that God existed, I had stopped trusting in Him completely. But when I returned to Germany, something happened. I got invited. I got invited by a colleague to a church she had looked at, a Pentecostal church. And there I rededicated my life to Christ. I was at my own end. So I decided to just give it all to Jesus. I got baptized and I became a member of that church. I walked through a process of healing and deliverance. And finally I got the acknowledgement and love that I had so longed for. But there was a pitfall. I hadn't been healed of the old hurt before, so I fell when I entered pride. I got so proud because finally I got what I wanted so long. And the pride got me to fall in an area where I'd fallen before. I entered a homosexual relationship. The one was followed by the next. And eventually, I ended up in a place where I was so far away, I'd left everything that had been good to me in that congregation that I was in a place where I actually wanted to ask God for His blessing for a marriage with that woman. I was confused to the utter ends. But God used that moment. He used that moment and He drew me back to Him. He drew me back to that place close to His heart. And what happened is, a couple, 17 months after that, I had left that church again. On the 5th of January 2007, I traded. I traded my old life completely for God. And I never had to make that change again. I traded it once and for all. And God was good. It took 10 months of a real fight. It was a tough fight, but it was so worth it. He delivered me of homosexuality. He delivered me of any consequences I had suffered from sexual abuse, of self-destructive behavior, of plenty physical ailments. My heart and my relationships were restored. And His love, His joy and trust and hope, they changed my life completely. After 7 years of being there, I came to Shofar, Namibia, because God sent me there. And I can tell you, even when I was unfaithful, even when I was in a valley of shadow and death, He was faithful and He was there. He was always waiting and always loving, waiting for me to be ready to be set apart for His purposes. And I can tell you there's no greater love than that, that I've found. And what He's done for me, He can do for you.
Good evening, church. We are here to glorify the King of Kings. My wife got sick, and so she went to the doctor. But afterwards, the doctor said to her, "You are 3 months pregnant." And by the way, it is 15 years after our youngest child. And then she came home, and she told me what the doctor said. And while she was talking, I felt the story came up in me about Cain and Abel. and with the word. So, by the way, the doctor also gave her a number. If you phone this number today, tomorrow everything is gone. It's vanished. So, with that story, the words came to me, "Where's your brother?" So I said to her, "No ways, we keep the baby." Then we made an appointment in Paul, and with the first scan, that lady, she measured the head and the legs, all the stuff. And then afterwards, she looked at us and she said to us, "Down syndrome." Yo. So my wife, yo, she can't take stuff like that. But that doctor, she told us to wait in the foyer, and she wanted to see us again. But in that time, while we were sitting there, the Lord spoke to me. He said to me, "I will show you my light and my salvation." So I was filled with peace, and I said to her, "Listen here, forget about the stories, man. It's all right. It's fine. Everything is fine. The baby is fine." No, but she keep on. So we went in again, and that lady got angry with me. She said to me, "Sir, it seems to me you don't want to listen to me. You're ignoring everything." But anyway, two Sundays after that, I was at work. She was alone in church. And by the way, I'm talking for both of us, because she can't take such a lot of people, you see, to speak today. And then she felt that at that very moment, she must go to Pastor Fred and ask him to pray for her. So after a while, there was too many people around him, and she tried to, right, she's going home now. The time when she turned, she felt a hand on the shoulder and said, "Hello, Mama." And then she told him everything, and he called Rick, Pastor Rick, and the two of them, they prayed for her. And when he mentioned the name chromosomes, and he prayed about it and over it, her stomach, it contracting together, everything inner pulled together. And after that, right, she went home and she told me about it and so on and so on. Then we made another appointment in Newlands with another doctor. So when we arrived there, she took the first scan photo and she looked at it and said, "I know this lady and she's very good and she knows what she's doing and you know this." And they take out pamphlets and books and CDs and, you know, when they're 4 years old, they're this, and you must consider abortion, and when they're 20 and when they're what, she keep on, I don't know, what do you call it, bubbling or what? Yeah. But all right. And then she asked my wife to lay down on the bed and then when she switched on her screen here, and there's another big one there, when she put on that scanner, and then she just lift up her arms and she said, "Now I don't understand. The baby on this photo and the baby on that screen, they are two different babies. The Lord..." The Lord healed her completely. There was, with the first scanning, there was no nose, no bone. There was a huge space here at the neck, and the head was flat here. But with the second one, that doctor there in Newlands, she don't know what to say, and all I could get out is, "Was no, because I'm born again." So praise the Lord, and yes, he is tonight. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm James. I've been having treatment for cancer for the past 4 years, and I just finished treatment 2 weeks ago. So it's been really tough. Really tough 4 years. But during the 4 years, God's been showing me things that I didn't realize and I didn't know, like I had this keychain that said James means favored, and I've always heard my mom say that she's blessed and highly favored, but I never knew what favored means until a few months ago. I was just speaking to the Lord, and then And then he told me, James, you're favored. And then I'm like, what does that mean? And then he said, when you're favored, you are favored to overcome any obstacle that comes in your way. So if the enemy tries to attack you, you are the favorite to overcome him through Jesus Christ. And this was 3 months ago. So I was still busy with treatment. So this gave me lots of encouragement. And also during the past few months, also the Lord revealed why I had to go through this. I found out that my bloodline, a curse was placed on my bloodline a few years ago, and the only way I was going to find out about this is by actually going through the treatment and growing closer to God so that He can reveal this to me. And the pastor, because I'm from PE, my pastor back in PE said that I was placed in chains, like the enemy had wrapped chains around me, and every time I struggled to move, it became tighter and tighter. So he called a few pastors, and then they prayed for me, and then after that, I just felt a release, and I felt like a weight had been taken off my shoulders after that, and since then, the treatment has been going so well, and the doctor hasn't told me I'm cured yet, but I do believe that I am cured. And also, people always told me that they always tell me, James, you are so strong because of all the treatments you've gone through. But then I've 4 weeks ago, I was busy with radiation and I was in so much pain. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't talk. And I lost 4 kilograms in a week. I didn't attend classes for the past 3 weeks, and I was basically failing everything. And then I came to the one service, and then Maria prayed for me. And then after she prayed for me that whole week, I attended classes. I ate more than I ate before I was sick. And everything was so great, and that just made me realize that I'm not strong. It's God is strong, and He gives me strength. And Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And I just want to encourage anyone that has any mountains or any obstacles in their way to just ask God to be with you, and you'll overcome, because with Him you are blessed and highly favored.
Lots of people have been fasting, and we want to stretch out our hands because we believe God is going to complete the work. Father, we thank you for James. Thank you that he is our brother and part of this family, and we just speak your healing, complete healing. Father, we thank you for your life over him. Thank you, Lord, that he is your favorite one, Lord, and thank you for your favor on his body. We thank you, Lord, that cancer is broken, is dead in Jesus' name, and we release your healing completely over him in Jesus' name. We bless you, Lord, for this testimony and for his life. And we pray that even the Uma Yuba Kosas will turn around because of his testimony in the Kosas in Jesus' name. Amen.
My name is J.D. Labaskachny, and the story I have experienced in the past 3 months changed my life completely. The Lord works with each and every one of our dreams. I had a dream to go sailing, and in Standard 7, I got this opportunity to go on a boat, and in Durban, I just felt the thrill of being on the open water and experiencing the wind behind our sails, and that day, I decided I'm gonna sail more and more, and I want to do an Atlantic crossing one day, and So to keep this dream alive, I made my email address selyach@gmail.com. So every time I log in, I know I'm gonna achieve this dream. I was very practical about it. And at the end of last year, I got this opportunity. I heard of a guy who had to bring his boat back from Rio to Cape Town, and they needed crew. So the first thing I did is I put my hand up. I said, I'd love to be on this boat. Please take me along. And I didn't know this, but the Lord took this journey to change my heart completely. So we were four people on the crew. It was the captain. It was his dad's boat. It was the mechanic. It was one of my good friends, Lloyd. And it was myself. And we got each other in Rio, and we sailed to Cape Town. So I've got to tell you the story how we sail. So if it's Brazil and if it's Cape Town, you have to sail all the way down, get the currents and the trade winds to come towards Cape Town. And we sailed really quick. It was in the beginning of February. We sailed all the way down, and we did a third of the trip. And that's where we hit a storm. But a storm that pulls out every bit of fear that's in your body. It's a storm with waves as big as this hall. It's something frightening. It's bigger. And it was gushing winds, and we got three really big waves, and they turned the boat, and instead of going like this with the waves, we went like this. And moments later, we heard a big sound. It was the mainsail that tore. And so we were out in the middle, a third of the way, too far for anybody to come and help us, and the mainsail tore completely. And after that, it was 5 days of consecutive storm. And in the storm, it's like living in a washing machine. It's messy everywhere. You cannot make food. Imagine in a washing machine, if you would have to live there, you can't sleep because it's moving all the time. So I was laying like a sea star on my bed, trying to just kind of stay on one spot. And the only food we had was a few potatoes we could have cooked a day or two earlier. And so it was with raw potatoes that we went for 5 days, one or two potatoes a day. One a day. And you had to gear yourself up. You had a really big jacket. You got a harness and you strap yourself and you clip yourself to the boat because you got to steer this boat and make sure that you stay alive. And after the sail broke, we were stuck in the storm. And without being able to sleep and without being able to eat, you become peeled like an onion. First, it's the ego. Four guys on a boat, there's no space for ego. You've got to work together. And the next thing was the sleep and the deprivation of food. That was another layer that was taken away. And the third one was after 5 days, the radio broken, the winch broken, which you used to pull in all the ropes, to pull in all the sails, it was totally broken. The radar being broken, and the engine shook loose because it was so rough. And the engine shook loose, and it's got a prop shaft and a propeller, and it made a hole in the boat. And so the next thing we saw ourselves, we were with buckets trying to keep ourselves afloat. It was the worst 5 days of my life. And at the end of it, I was sitting outside with my friend, and we were just crying. The emotions overtook us. We didn't know what to do. We were out here, nobody can help us, and we're going down rather quickly. And it was in those moments, he wasn't a Christian at all, and was. And he prayed twice on the boat. The first prayer was after the storm. We hit a second storm. He prayed, Lord, stop the storm. And immediately went, whew. It was like a switch. It was amazing. And the second one was later throughout the trip. We used the engine because we didn't have a sail. So, and the engine broke, totally broken. And the next thing is we couldn't go anywhere. We were drifting towards an island called Tristan da Cunha because we had to get water, food, and diesel. We were totally stranded. And he prayed, Lord, please make this engine work. And the next thing we heard, the engine worked. And there's only two lessons that I learned in this trip, and that is what I want to leave you with. And that's where this dream I had in Standard 7, I didn't know the Lord was going to use this to teach me these two lessons. And it was in that moment when I was crying with my friend Lloyd outside on the deck that I knew two things are really important. It's the people that you love and the people that love you. And out there, there's no church. There's no kumbaya. There's no hallelujah songs. And you don't feel like singing. And it's there where you meet a God that really cares for you, that really loves you, that is really interested in you. It's something that I'm a Christian for quite a while, but this was something else. It was real as you are sitting here. And that changed my life completely, to know that the Lord really loves us and he really cares about your dreams, and he will use those dreams to teach you the right lessons.
Hi guys, my name is Daniel, or Daniel in Afrikaans. I'm from Vredendal, so we don't speak a lot of Afrikaans, or English. I mean, we just speak Afrikaans there, so excuse my accent. If I talk English, I will try to speak it deliciously. But I'm going to tell you about a story of God that just, a radical God just that saved my life and healed me completely from cancer. And at the age of 17, it was 14 December, they diagnosed me with cancer on my thymus gland. It's on my borscht. Yeah, and they found a tumor the size of 17 by 5 centimeters. So it was quite as big as a teacup on my. It was really growing fast, and they said. They immediately did a operation, and then they found out the type of cancer it is, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's very interesting. But then they gave me a first chemo, and they said they're going for healing because it's very treatable. And yeah, after the first chemo, the tumor just broke down, and I can breathe properly again, and I could just say thank you, God, for that. And I got 5 more chemos. I lost like all of my hair, and I did have to do matric with that. And I was 40 days absent, and I still passed everything. And by the grace of God, and I was able to come and got accepted with that points, because I had like life sciences and the big 6. So it was really hard sometimes, but God really pulled me through that. And yeah. 2012, June, July, they said, I'm healed and I'm going to be fine, and the chance that I get cancer is like 1%. And then, yeah, that 6 months I went through, I could write my end exam, and December of 2012, they found I got headaches, and we don't know what it was. And then we went to Durbanville Mediclinic, and they took an MRI scan, and they found a tumor the size of 5 centimeters in my brain, and this time they didn't say they're going for healing. They said the youth is on my side. So that was quite hard, and I needed to get 2 chemos. Then very intense chemos. They gave me a port into my aorta, and that is where they it's so intense because they need to be chemo needs to be a lot stronger to have an effect, and then. And then it didn't have an effect, and I just grew weaker and weaker. I was 85 kilograms. After 3 weeks, I went to 69 kilograms. I really looked bad, and I lost all my hair again. They did a cut in my head. I had a cut here. I was quite scarred, and I still am, but that's sexy, I know. But in that time, I really believed in God. I was like literally like just lying like this. I didn't talk anything. I was just like, my father asked me, what is this? I said, VF, Wunderwerk, which means miracle. You can go against this miracle. But in that time, I lost my mind, like, I lost consciousness for like about 2 months, and I really didn't look. And my dad and my mom and everyone around me didn't see what I was seeing, that I'm getting healed. And they started not believing that. And the two chemos came in on the 26th of February 2013. They told my parents, I'm not going to make it. And they must prepare themselves. But I'm going to try radiation now. But if they do it, I will be blind and I will be mute. So I can't be talk. So that would be not nice. But, yeah. And that evening, the Lord just gave my father like two scriptures. I can't remember now. Complete out of my head about it. One is just like, it's Psalm 91, verse 14, that says, I'm going to deliver him and I'm going to give him a long life. And that is one of the powerful stuff that God really just wants to do in my life. And that evening, he gave it to my dad. I got my first radiation. They pushed me in with a bed. And I got it, and that evening I woke my mom at 2 a.m. in the morning, and I ate her whole hand back because I was so hungry. I haven't eaten for a week, but I really only realized it that night. And that second day, they pushed me in with the wheelchair, and I ate like 6 chops or something. Yeah, so that was, I really had to catch up. And the third day, I walked in and I got the chemo, not the radiation, and I got, in total, I got 22 chemos, radiations. And I'm still talking to you and I'm still singing you, so the grace of God was just in my life. And they took an MRI scan on the 4th, I finished on the 5th of April, and then on the 4th of, 4th of April, 3 months later, they took an MRI scan, and then they saw like the tumor went from 5 centimeters to 5 millimeters, and that was just scar tissue. That means it's dead, it's not alive. And because of the tumor, it split my brain, and it was really, if once your brain is split, it doesn't come back. But after 3 months, I took another scan, and it went back. Praise God. And and I was completely healed. And the same doctors that told they were supposed to tell my parents that I'm not going to make it. Like a week after my first radiation, I started to play squash. And the one doctor came in, and he saw me playing squash, and he ran out, and he phoned the other doctor, and he asked, Is Daniel in Fernando? Because they said he's not going to make it. But I was playing squash. I was just standing there because I couldn't run. It was too weak. But God really just made me strong. And during that time, I just got a lot of prayers and stuff. My primary school, they wore pink and prayed for me. And my high school, they wore like a grijs tricky for me, and then I've had a lot of friends that cut off their hair for me, and like really got support, and God really blessed us. And through that time, my dad was always by my side, and he works with commission, so he needs to be at work, but he's also a pastor. So I knew that God just blessed him, and even he could have worked like from there. And then the blessings just went on. People paid in money into my dad's account, and after that, all my expenses, it was about 1.3 million rand. It was all paid by our God and medical aid. And we had so much money left, we could have bought me my first car. And so this is just, and now I can start to study, and I can just say, thank you, Lord, for being there with me. And I just want to encourage you that God will never leave you or forsake you, and he will always be by your side. God on the mountain is still God in the valley, and you must just remember that and be very thankful that you can have health. And if you don't have health, I know CS will pray for you tonight, and we will know that you will get delivered, because our God is good and our God is great, and there's nothing that can stand against you. And thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done in my life. And I just want to bless you all and just say thank you for that you're God's children and he wants to bless you. Amen.
Evening, church. I'm David, and we're speaking about perfect storms and if things don't go according to the way we think or we plan. I'm here to testify of God's goodness and his faithfulness. It's about 6 years ago, my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and the journey went along. She was a child of God. She was a child of God. She really knew God in everything she did, and her walk with the Lord was upright. She knew God. And in this whole process, with every time the cancer came back, she kept the faith. She kept saying, God will heal her. And we kept praying, we kept anointing, and every time it came back, she went to doctors and they cut out what could be cut out, and eventually it jumped to the brain. And eventually that got sorted. But after 12 operations, I just sort of kept coming back. And even though we kept standing in faith for absolute healing, God's ways is higher than our ways. And just the one Sunday evening, I was lying with her in the bed. This was when things started going a bit backwards. We started realizing, okay, things aren't going the way we think. And the Lord just dropped this vision into my heart, saying this vision of as if the most beautiful flower is being drawn heavenwards. And it's just so amazing how God comes in, comforts in these times. The 30th of April, that's about a month ago, I drove home. And as I entered home, my dad came out and he just shook his head. And I knew, she's home. And that just gave me such a overwhelming peace. I'm still struggling to find words to completely explain to you what went on in my heart. What God just came and dropped. This amazing peace of knowing she's home. And with this, before the time, I sort of thought to myself, and this is sort of the way I'm wired, I would often just sort of, I enjoy being alone, just getting out. And before the time, I just decided, listen, I'm going to, if this were to happen, I would get in the car and I'm gone. For a month or two or a year, I'd just be gone for a while. And ever since this happened, I've not once had this urge of wanting to leave. It's just God being there all the time, being faithful. And in this, you ask questions. Why is it? Even she knew you, God. We believe in miracles. But this is the amazing thing, and I'm getting goosebumps as I'm standing here. From that day that he came to fetch her, it's as if there was just a release of God in us as a family, but also those people close to us, the family and friends, further, a bit of a wider circle. And from that day, it's as if a seed has been planted. A life isn't lost, but a seed has been planted. And from that day, God just took me to Acts and to Stephen, where Stephen was stoned. And I never saw this. I never read this in the Bible. I never realized this is what happened. But Saul was standing by. Saul was holding Stephen's clothes. That Saul became Paul today, that almost wrote the whole New Testament. So oftentimes, we don't see what God is busy with. And the testimonies that came from that day up to now, I can keep you the whole service busy of people and of things that just come back to us and we don't realize what God is busy with. It's things that blows my mind, and you just experience such a peace of knowing God is in control and he knows what he is doing, even though things don't go as we think they should. And in this time, there's a lot of also reconciliation happening. And just to testify from my own life, there's been a while between myself and another guy that things weren't in place. We couldn't really speak with one another. And he was at the service. And for the first time, I just experienced this openness that we could speak. And we could speak after this. And there was just such a reconciliation that took place after this. That I just realized our God is big. He's amazing. We don't understand everything about him, but he knows our every detail. And that afternoon, my mom, her favorite weather was rainy weather, was nice Cape Town winter weather. She just loved it. And we had the most perfect day for the service. And as I drove home that evening, it started pouring, it started raining. Something that wasn't forecasted, that wasn't predicted. And this is just God showing that, listen, David, I'm here. I've got you. I've got you. I've got the family. Don't worry. And just sort of test me before this. I was about to move here to Stellenbosch, to Yonkerzoek in a flat. And they just fell through the carpet. And I thought, okay, that's weird. But I kept staying home in Somerset, and now it all makes sense. I had to be home, and literally a day or two after this, someone phoned and asked if we can't move into a house in the exact same place. It's actually Darby and Mina's house in Yonkerzoek. So this is just what I want to testify about today, is even though there are storms, even though it looks as if we're sinking, God knows about those detail things. And I want to encourage you guys that don't look at your own circumstances, your own shortcomings. God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen.
Sure. God is good. Amen. Okay, we're going to just read you one scripture in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And then it says, they triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives insomuch as to shrink from death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they didn't love their lives even unto death. You see, God raises us up with a testimony. And God wants you to have a testimony. And it doesn't mean that you need to have gone through many things, but there's something that you can share. If you have the blood of Jesus on your life, you better start sharing that. And you can tell somebody else of maybe something small God has done in your life. And it's so important, because the devil wants you to be quiet and silent and focus on all the fears and all the negative things, all the stuff that has gone wrong, all those things, all the accusations in your life. But then we need to stand up and we need to say, yes, God, thank you. I look to what God has done. You know, and we sometimes forget. There's some of us here tonight that need to come back to God just to find the joy of our salvation again. You know, just that place where you're in love with Jesus. That place where you, every day when you wake up, you've got a new song and you're just so in love with him. Not just love him, you're in love with God, because you know that thing that he paid for you on the cross, his life that he gave for you, the redemption, it's just, there's such a joy. It's not happiness, because happiness comes from a happening, but joy comes from knowing God, from having his presence in your life. Doesn't matter how big the storm is, doesn't matter what circumstance comes against you. But that joy of your salvation, it comes from the presence of God. It says in his presence, there is fullness of joy. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And so it is so important that every day we put on the helmet of salvation. Every day we remind the devil of what God has done in our lives. And you know, in the Old Testament, it happened so many times. You know, whenever they went through the Jordan, whenever they went into the promised land, what would happen is that God made the Jews build a massive heap of stones. It was called memorial stones. And it was a massive heap of stones. Everybody had to bring their stones and pack it onto each other. And then every time when the Jews would come by, they would recognize that stones. And then the young guys and the young girls, the Tsokakis would ask, now, what is this heap of stones for? And then the fathers and the mothers and the grandfathers would tell the story of how God would deliver them, building memorials in your life. And it's so important that we celebrate every little breakthrough that God has brought in your life. If it's small, throw a party, you know. If it's small, tell the world about it. You know, Scripture talks about a lady that has lost some coins, 5 coins. And then she goes and she finds the one. And then Scripture says she calls all of the friends. And she throws a massive party. The party probably cost more than the coin was worth. But the principle is so important. Whenever God does something in your life, stop the bus and tell the world about it. Because you know what? People can deny the word of God, but they cannot deny the word in you. They cannot deny what God has done in your life. And Christians, it's time to speak up. Tell the world that Jesus lives. Tell the world what he's done in your life, even if it's something small. We're going to partake of communion tonight. And you know what? We're going to just give God thanks. You're going to tell the people around you what God has done in your life. And I have a friend, some of you know him, Angus. And I've had the privilege of many times to go and drink coffee there on his farm. He's still got this old little hut as a farm, on the farm. Not as a farm, on the farm. This little house that has got no ceiling in. And so that he can hear the rain on the roof, you know, it's just thin roof. And then he's got a prayer room. And then every morning when he goes into this prayer room, on this wall is like photos and stuff of what God has done. And so every time when you go in there, he sits and then he tells you the stories of what God has done. And he says, look what God has done. And let me tell you the testimony of that. And let me tell you when God did that. And let me, and then he says, I'm surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. So that every time I get into that place and sometimes I feel down or sometimes I feel depressed, I go into that place and there's just testimonies of God's goodness. And then I say, devil, God has been faithful. You're a liar and you're a thief. Some of you need to tell the devil that and your circumstances, that God is good and he is faithful. Amen? Will you stand with us tonight as we're going to just worship the Lord and we're going to give him thanks, okay? We're going to remind ourselves of the things that he's done. And we need to celebrate that. And you know what? That scripture says they overcame him by 2 things. The blood of the lamb, because that establishes covenant, that establishes life. Life is in the blood. And then the word of their testimony, where we testify, where we worship and say God is good. So we're going to ask the ushers, they're going to come in now. And then we're going to take that bread. And we're going to take that wine. And don't just do it once a month here in church. Every first Sunday, we do it here in church. But you know what? You must do it every week. Scripture says, as often as you do it, do it in a remembrance, a memorial stone of covenant that we have with an almighty God. Do it in that place where you celebrate. And the moment, you know, there's only 2 sacraments that Jesus has instituted. It's the sacrament of baptism and that of communion. No other festivals or any stuff. He just said, just do those 2 things because baptism places you in the authority of Christ. Once Christ has come to be in you, and you're born again, then baptism places you into Christ, into his authority, and it releases you. But then there's communion. And when we come to sit at the communion table, it's one of the most holy moments in your life. It's not just a piece of bread and it's a piece of a little cup that we drink because we're trying to be funny or because we're trying to be religious. We're proclaiming that Jesus is coming soon. We're coming to sit at the table of his healing and his provision and his deliverance, because life is in the blood. And scripture says that God has paid a price, a very valuable price for your life, for my life, because his blood is different than our blood. His blood was sinless. It was the perfect sacrifice. His body was broken so that you and I can have healing. And you know, after tonight, you can't say, well, God doesn't heal anymore. Because he does. You can't say that God is not good, because he is. Because even despite those circumstances, God still turns it for good. Sickness is never from God. Sickness is never from God. Death isn't from God, because if you're a Christian, you cannot die. You just pass on. You just move on, because you're an eternal being. And so tonight it is so important that you and I celebrate Jesus' death until he comes. That we remember what he did. And I'm going to be very honest with you. Stop reading those books. Stop running around after revelations. Do you know what revival means? Revival means is to revisit, to revision, to see what Christ has done. And the more you get to know God, the more in awe you're going to stand at what he has done on the cross. If you lose the revelation of the cross of Jesus, then you are backslidden. If you try to become religious about singing nice songs, all of that stuff, it's not about the songs. It's about somebody that died one day and said, I'm going to give you life. He hanged on a tree. He hanged to break your curse, to break the curse over my life. And we can never stop being not thankful for that. Somebody died for me, and somebody died for you. And that's why we live, is to give him glory. That's why we live, is to make him famous. That's why we die, so that he can live. That's why we deny ourselves and we turn from our wicked ways and we begin to follow him and we say, God, I'm here to give you glory. I'm here to give you honor. And you know what? It is so important that you and I tonight just come to thank God. Because thankfulness and worship is how we come to him, because we're just overjoyed by his joy in our lives. I just want to see, has everybody received bread and wine? Just raise your hand if you haven't. Is there anybody here that's been there? Some people in the middle here. Do you want to share a testimony quickly? Come, run, 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 run. While we wait for everybody to receive bread and wine.
Good evening, everybody. I just want to share a quick testimony. Last year when I was in my room at Res, I was just doing the normal thing, reading my Bible, played a bit of gospel music. And then I didn't go looking for it or specifically ask for it, but it was as if all of a sudden God took a drop of his love and just like splashed it on that room. And it was so overwhelming. I can't describe the feeling. I was laughing and crying and everything at the same time. And his love in that room was so thick, I thought I would choke. Like I grasped for air. I couldn't breathe. It was such an overwhelming feeling, and it just opened my eyes for the love God has for us. Because I don't even think that drop is a fraction in the ocean of love that he has for us. And so they are. That was just my story.
Okay, some people still waiting. If you haven't received, just raise your hand. There's some people there in the middle block there. It's a whole block there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you tonight, Lord, for your love. And tonight, Lord, we choose to die. Tonight, we choose to come to you, God. And thank you, God, that tonight we've come to celebrate your life and to celebrate your death, to celebrate your resurrection until you come again. tonight we've come, Lord, to sit at the table. And we thank you, Lord, for the table of the Lord. Thank you, God, that doesn't matter what our circumstances say, tonight, Lord, we confess that you are good and you are faithful and your loving kindness endures forever. I want you, just as you're standing just with somebody next to you, I want you just to tell them how much you appreciate God in your life. I want you to tell them who he is in your life. I want you to confess it over your life. Just tell somebody next to you and say, yo, I love God so much. He's my everything. He's my life. He's my resurrection. Another 30 seconds. So just lots to share, and thank you, Father, for your life. Thank you, God. We want to, if you're going through a storm tonight, if you're going through that perfect storm, I want you to step out from where you are, and we're going to have communion with you in front here, because we're going to put our faith out with you. Doesn't matter, you don't even need to share where it is, but there's a perfect storm in your life. And there's stuff coming against you. I want you to come and stand on my left-hand side here, your right-hand side, because we're gonna trust God with you. Maybe it's in your emotions. Maybe that thing is just, it just seems almost impossible for you. But we're going to pray. That's why we come to sit at the table of God. And maybe you're standing there and you're not going through a storm. Then please be respectful, because there's, please be respectful, because there's, maybe one day you're going to go through a storm, And then, you know, it doesn't help you to say fancy words. All we can do is we can celebrate what Jesus has done. And we can come tonight and come close to Him and say, God, thank You that You're in the boat. And we speak peace to those storms. We speak peace to those hearts. If you're here tonight, you need healing in your body. Physical healing. Or even maybe emotional healing. And you're at the end of yourself emotionally. I want you to step out. I want you to come and stand here. We're going to pray with you because Jesus made provision for healing of your body. If you're sick, we're going to pray for you. I want you to come out quickly. So we're going to pray. And we're going to say, yes, God, we believe what You've done on the cross is sufficient here. If you are here tonight and your relationship with Jesus is not right, you know that Jesus is not number one of your life and you're playing games with Him. But if a storm would hit, or you'd come to that place where there's nobody else left, who are you going to pray to? Because even tonight He's going to hear your voice when you pray to Him. But if your relationship with God is not in the right place tonight, and you need to repent of your sins and you being in control of your life, and you need to give Jesus everything, I want you to step out and come and stand right here in front. I want these people to move a little bit to that side. If you need to make a recommitment, because there's some people, I sense there's a guy standing right there at the back. You're like into lots of sport. You love your exercise. You love all of that stuff. But every time God comes close enough, you run away. And you know there's a calling on your life from when you were 13 years old. Somebody walked into your life and said, God is going to use you. But you're trying to do it in your own strength, in your own way. And God is saying, tonight, you need to come. I want that guy to come quickly. If you're here tonight, God's hand is on your life. You know that for a relationship with Him, not for a religious experience. Because tonight there's three people here. You want to run away. You thought this is the most scary meeting of your life. Because you've never seen something like that. But always say it's life, it's Jesus. It's people just talking about who He is and what He's done in our lives. Whether life or whether death. If God is speaking to you tonight and you're backslidden and Jesus is number 22 on your list, I want you to come quickly. I want you to come and stand in front. I want you to come now, quickly, come. If that's you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about making Jesus Lord of your life, I want you to come quickly. I want you to come and stand right here in front. Come and stand here with me. Quickly come. I'm waiting for you. If you're standing over there, before we're going to pray for you, I want you to come here first. You make Jesus first, Lord of your life. Quickly come. There's a couple of people. We're not going to close our eyes or lift our hands. When the Holy Spirit invites you to life in Jesus, then you come. So I want you to step out. I want you to come quickly. There's a lady here. You've done very bad stuff in your life. And you feel that you're not worthy to receive the blood of Jesus on your life. But tonight He's talking to you. 3 months ago, you thought about suicide. You thought about giving up on life. Tonight He's saying to you, come. Come, girl. Come. The King is inviting you to an audience with Him. So I'm going to just wait. I don't know why people are not praying, because this is why we're here, is when people come to turn to God. If you are backslidden or if you don't know Jesus, I want you to come out quickly, because tonight He's going to save you. Tonight you're going to give your life to Him. And tonight you're going to return your life to Him. You're going to give back. And you're going to say, Lord, I thank You for Your blood. Because that's what He does. His blood washes us clean. He gives us a new life when we come and we turn to Him. Just like that. He takes all of us. So if God is speaking to you, I want you to step out quickly. I want you to come now. Come now. If you can run, run. I'm still waiting for that guy. I want you to come. Don't run away. Run to God. Quickly. Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for an invitation to life. Lord, it's either life or it's death. And tonight we choose life. If you choose life tonight, I want you to come. I just sense there's a war going on for some people here, and you need to come quickly. I want you to come. If God is speaking to you, you're backsliding, you're trapped in cycles of sin, you're trapped in cycles of just lifestyles and things, then you know that God is convicting you right now. You can't do it in your own strength. You have to humble yourself. So I want you to come quickly. If God is speaking to you, come. Thank you, Father. Thank you right now that you draw people unto yourself. Thank you, Lord, that you break yokes of slavery. Thank you that you break yokes of oppression. Thank you that you break yokes of lies over people. And tonight, Lord, we stand here and we say yes to your broken body and we say yes to your life. And I'm going to pray this prayer. God is speaking to you. I'm going to pray for all of us as if we come to God for the first time. Because I believe there's something, not just for the people standing in front, as we're going to take this communion, God is going to unlock something in your life concerning the joy of your salvation. Just that first time when you came to Him, that first joy when you experienced and you were just so in love with Him. So we're going to pray. I pray this regularly. We're going to pray as if we all pray this for the first time. Will we give our lives again to Christ? Amen? Salvation is really a process. It's not about a prayer. It's about our hearts. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, tonight I'm a sinner and I repent of my sin and of the being that I am. I've chosen against you all of my life. But tonight I thank you for your choice of me. So I come to you and I surrender my life, my heart, my past, my future, my relationships, everything, Lord, I place it under the cross, under your authority, and under your life. Tonight, I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Tonight, I believe in my heart, Jesus, that you rose from the dead. You conquered death itself. And tonight, Lord, I thank you that I can receive eternal life. I am an eternal being. I will live forever worshiping you, giving you glory, serving you, being a child of God. The old has passed, God. Everything has become new. And tonight, Lord, as I take this bread, I do it in remembrance of your broken body. And I receive your healing to my body and to my soul. I eat your life. I thank you that your body has been broken for everything that I need in this life. And tonight I celebrate you, Jesus, as I eat this bread. I want you to eat it. And as you eat it, I want you to thank God for that area that you've been trusting Him for. If it's healing, you say healing. If it's restoration in your family, you say restoration. If it's salvation, you say salvation. If it's that storm, just His word in your storm, that's all you need. Where Jesus stands up in the middle of the storm and He releases that storm. I want you to eat and thank Him. Start to thank Him for that. Just for a moment, just thank Him. I remember what He did on the cross for you. There's some of you struggling to forgive. And tonight He's going to give you the ability to forgive. People have hurt you terribly. And tonight you're going to speak forgiveness over them. Because of what Jesus has done, He's forgiven your sins. He's washed you clean. There's some people that has hurt you. There's some of us standing in front. You've got so many knives into your soul. And God says He's going to take them out. He's going to speak healing to your soul. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Only you can do that. Let's take the cup and let's drink together in remembrance of His blood. Thank you tonight, Lord, that there's life in your blood. Thank you that we put your blood on the doorposts of our hearts and of our families, of our community, of this university, and of our nation. And thank you that the angel of death will pass over because we marked and we sealed. Thank you that death, you have no sting. Thank you, sickness. you have no hold. Thank you, accusation, lies, and condemnation and guilt. You have no place because this house is covered by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, tonight we call on the testimony of Jesus. Tonight, Lord, we call on the testimony of Jesus, that's the spirit of prophecy, the ability to speak your life, the ability to release the testimony of Christ. And Lord, release your testimony again, Lord. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Lord, tonight, Lord, we step out of the flesh and we step into that joy. Lord, despite circumstances, despite the lies, despite everything around us in the storm, tonight we step into the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we open up the windows of our souls and the windows of our hearts, that you will flood us with the love of Christ. Flood us with the power of Christ. Flood us, God. I want you to just to speak to God just for a moment where you're standing and just invite the Holy Spirit into that area where there's a storm in your life, where there's struggle in your life, or relational breakdown, whatever it is. We're going to just say, Lord, thank you. We receive your fullness in our lives. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, God. We thank you tonight for your healing and for your deliverance. Thank you, God. Thank you. I need somebody, some people with oil to just anoint these people in front here. And then we're going to just anoint the people in front here. Some zone leaders and some, you know, district leaders, if you're here. We're going to just pray God's blessing. And we're going to just worship God. I know some of you, you're a bit in a rush because of exam times. But I don't want anybody to talk in here. I want you to, if you need to go, take your belongings and go silently. You can have some coffee in the foyer. But there's some people that the kingdom of God is coming. This is a very holy moment. So I don't want anybody to talk to people next to them. If you need to go, you're free to go. But we're going to just sit for a moment in the presence of God. And we're going to just worship Him. And we're going to just celebrate His life. We're going to just say, Lord, let heaven come. And if you need prayer, doesn't matter what prayer it is, even for your exams, I want you to come to the front and we're going to just pray for you.